American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, October 19th, 2009. And you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sitrep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your Headspace and Timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to Sean _ Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, like the guy who got shot from the grassy knoll, if you believe the mainstream news, .livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury, SES, RN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Network, Streak Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, every Thursday night in Second Life Note, Archer's Grid 15574666. And the guy sitting across from you on the bus is probably listening to this on his headphones as well. Look at him. Go on, look. He's looking at you, too. You're at the same point in the show. And let's not forget that we have simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And now, of course, let's bring in the founder of All Things Rant, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank
you.
Good
evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well. I'm very well. I'm kind of...
Yeah, you sound good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling good. I've been writing more.
Yeah.
Gravy for the brain, as they say. When I write, I have to... it forces me to sort of meditate, right? You can't, like, especially with, like, you know, the Alt or the Control-T button, right? You go Control-T and bang, you've got another window with the internet in it. And I'm like, oh, hello! You know, and you can just run away. I don't want to look at my documents folder anymore. La, la, la. Because, no, it's true. You know, like, I'm writing away, and I'm just like, do-do-do-do, and then I'm like, oh, well, I got it. And then you have to stop yourself, right? And it's cool because you can claim it's book research, right? Like, I had to go look up stuff
on... Well, you can claim that. Are you claiming it to yourself? Are you trying to justify looking at web pages to somebody else?
Well, now, book research is a dangerous, dangerous road to go down, right? Like, for example...
Oh, yeah.
One of the characters in the story is a baboon, okay? And I really don't know a lot about baboons. Like, just off the top of your head.
Well,
I mean, people in Australia...
Then you got to do some research then.
Well,
otherwise, you're gonna mess it up, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, for those of us listening who are not in Australia or some other hot, temperate country, I mean, I'm in BC. We got no baboons up here, which is unfortunate.
No.
If someone would like to send me a baboon,
kinda glad,
I'd
actually.
Really like to get a baboon. No, I really would. Like, a hamadryas would be nice. Or if I could get, like, an olive gray baboon, they'd be pretty sweet, too. The guy in the story,
he's... probably have to have it since, like, a baby, right? Because otherwise it'll just rip your arm off and take off.
Well, no, they're really not that big, actually. I mean, they're pretty big, and they're strong and stuff. They're about as strong as, like, you know, five or six people. But they're not, like, you know, they're not people, right?
We
can... Well, you can enslave them, right? Which is kind of
yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, trust me, man, trust me. You know, the new character's pretty good. You're going to have to read the book. But anyway, I had to do some research on baboons, right? Because I'm like, oh, well, what exactly is the deal with baboons? So I'm checking that out. And then, you know, you got to be, like, how much do you want to do? Do I have to have a PhD in baboonology before I get back to my book? No, I just need to, figure out what's going on.
Depends how in-depth you're going to go, right? If in the book somebody's doing research about baboons, you're going to have to get a little bit more deep. If you're just going for physical characteristics, then you're probably going to be able to get away with just some Wikipedia kind of research.
Well, that's really what we're after here. You don't need a whole lot of citation.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of can't. Which is really funny because I think it was either Bloodstained or
Scabbed.
I can't remember which one. I think it was Scabbed where I named a gun wrong. It was really funny. It was the Glock 23, and
oh,
I said the Glock 23 was a 45, and it's not the Glock 23. It's the Glock 21, or the other way around. And, you know, of all the things for me to get wrong. And, of course, I got it wrong.
Oh, I know.
Right. And I was mortified.
Oh, no.
You know, which is really bad because I like Glocks at the time. You know, I was like, oh, my God. You know? And, you know, there I am in the bar, you know, slinging my story out, you know, the bartender waiting for the punchline. And then I named the goddamn gun a Glock 23. Everybody's like looking at me.
Sean
like,
takes what a shot.
What the hell's wrong with the drunk guy at the end of the bar over there? But yeah, that's kind of.
And then it all went down.
It all went down. They wanted more science fiction, and then nobody wanted horror. And all of a sudden, Sim starts making horror movies right after I'm 60,000 words into a stupid science fiction novel. Anyway, whatever. I'm not.
Gotta
I'm
mix
not
it up.
I'm not better.
Not bitter at all.
I'm not better. No, dude. I got
speaking of which, speaking of horror, we just finished filming the last scene yesterday, which was very, very good. It's
right.
All in the can now.
Which is probably one of the most disturbing scenes in the movie. Which, you know, we can't even talk about it. But, you know.
You can't say. Well, I'm not going to reveal anything on the website with the pictures. Like, you could see stuff, but you won't figure out what the movie's about. But, yeah, it was a really good scene that we filmed yesterday.
It turned out well. Turned out well.
Yes, yes.
We've had a lot of lucky bounces, I think, with the show. Like, incidentally, I got to get those costumes back. Don't forget.
Oh, no problem. We're done.
Okay, good deal. But the thing is, she was asking after. The thing is, though, that with that, like, now that we've got the right vocal talent, I'm really happy with the vocal talent. You're going to be overjoyed.
Good.
You're going to be over-freaking-joyed with the vocal talent. And I was looking around at some other websites, and not to toot my own horn or anything here. Well, toot our own horn, because really all I did was write the stupid thing, right? I made a couple props, did some casting in that I found you a narrator, okay? And that is it. That is all I have done. My involvement with this has been minimal at best, okay?
But
unless you make a lot of
bigger
money with
project,
it,
so we need
it,
more
people. What's that?
It's all mine. It's all mine.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got the show now to back that up, so now I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, it's a bigger project. We need more people involved in it, so everybody's got to do their part, right?
And you know, when you involve more people, the prospects for screwing that up really go badly. You know what I mean? Like,
very true.
I'm sort of like, I get all Smeagol about that, and I'm like hiding my cave. And I'm like, no, the internet's is my show's server speaks to me. You know, and this is how I get sometimes, and I hate everybody. And I think everybody kind of has that. You know, everybody has that kind of trend I'm also over my bronchitis and I can breathe. That's probably
a good thing. Yeah, voice sounds very clear.
Yeah, well, I'm not barking up, you know, phlegm. Like last week I was dying. That's the other thing too. I was trying to think of what else could be.
Not so good. I mean, you made it through, but you were sounded a bit rough.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. But anyway, sorry. I totally lost my train of thought. We were on about Smeagol, internet's shows.
I don't know, the movie. We're talking about the movie.
Oh, yeah, right. And with the film. But I was just going to say, you know, somebody in the web called me a narcissist. Oh, my God, a ladybug has landed on me. I'm being attacked by a ladybug. It's the size of a thumbtack head. She's huge. She's crawling on my fingers looking for aphids. I'm not even shitting you here. It's just like, and the thing is about ladybugs right now, like I have this theory about ladybugs. Sorry, I'll get back to the show, I promise. But it's like, I'm not joking. My wife has been keeping ladybugs, okay? And like,
well, they're very useful.
Well, I put her on her back. Get there you go. Okay, so the thing is that I think that they return from where they were born, like salmon. I think ladybugs do that because they hibernate during the winter.
Okay.
So if they have babies or whatever, they teach them where to hibernate. Because I'm here to tell you, my house is covered in ladybugs. I go outside; it looks like, you know, biblical, you know, sign of God with the amount of ladybugs. Like there's seas of ladybugs. I'm walking through them; they're crunching. They're swarming.
Oh.
That's how many ladybugs I have. And when they fly, like this one is now doing, it looks like they're going in slow motion. It's very, very strange. Yeah, it's a plague of ladybugs is what I have. It's insane.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. Now, back to the show. But, you know, I'm broadcasting from a plague of ladybugs. Sound good in a plague of ladybugs. But, you know, that's what we do here on Rant.
Well, the ladybugs eat the bad bugs that eat the plants, so it's all good.
Nowhere did I say I killed that ladybug. That ladybug can go in peace and do her thing.
Good, good.
And I let spiders do their thing, too, actually. Actually, I'm keen to feed spiders. Sometimes I'll feed smaller spiders to bigger spiders on purpose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty brutal. But I think everybody actually does that. And, you know, like a lot of people do that. It's like the ant, you know, magnifying glass thing. You know, everybody did that. You know, we're all solar massacre, you know, mass murderers with our magnifying glass in the sun.
The laser is back. Oh, no.
Desperate. And you make the noises. And then they pop. Everybody knows that ants pop when you fry them. Anyways, I was looking around on the web at a lot of the other student film. And I got to say, just from what we're looking at now, dude, I think you got a real shot with this, you know, to enter it in some competitions and stuff. Because some of the stuff that, like, wins. Oh, man, I'm really, yeah. Not to stress you out, but I'm stoked.
You are.
Everybody, I'm this is going to be the greatest thing ever if Sim fucks this up.
Yeah. Yeah, because he has such good source material, he couldn't have messed it up. It's all his fault if he did.
That's right. That's what I'm going to do, and then drive you to suicide. And then I'll be free. I'll be free
it sucks. Of
all Riffin's rant, and I can do that. No, it's, I'll drive you off the deep end. But you know how that's going to turn out. It's going to be like The Producers, and it'll be a multi-million dollar hit, and you'll, like, leave me in the dust and go live in Vegas or something. Because that's what
it'll be a stage play, and yeah,
it'll be good. Now, because that's what Rant Media is all about. Speaking of which, let's get into some feedback here. Dear Sean and Sumerian, your recent discussions and promotion of the new Pirate Party of Canada somewhat worries me. While I do agree with their views, I'm starting to see that Rant Media is slowly becoming a sort of front for the Pirate Party. The idea of free speech solely rests upon the shoulders of diversity and divergence of opinions between human beings, even when it comes to political views. We must not forget that Rant Media is a media organization whose goal is to promote critical thinking, not political affliction or activist grouping. Therefore, we should draw a line between Rant and the Pirate Party. One can support and promote the other, but not become part of each other. Thank you, and keep up the awesome work and the entertaining banter. Big smiles. You know, name withheld. Okay, so I love it when people tell me what Rant Media is about. I love that. That is the best thing ever. You know, like, Sim.
the opinion polls are open now.
Please cast your vote of what Rant Media
should be.
What's it about, you know? I'm kind of fuzzy.
Well, we're going to cast it into the crowd. We're going to take an opinion poll.
Well,
like,
you know,
like we always do each week on what direction we should go with the show and Rant.
And I'm kind of like, you know, like I understand what Buddy's saying. Like not to take him outside, you know, put him on his knees and blow his head all over the floor.
Yeah, I could see where he's going. He's like, I like, you know, Rant the way it is. Don't change it, please. Yeah, I love it.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, after 10 years of doing this, we've decided we're taking Rant in a radical. No, come on. Come on, seriously, you guys know
me. Give us more credit than that.
The Pirate Party will have nothing to do with me. I'm way too flaky.
they'll listen to one show and they'll go, whoa.
They're going to be like, no. Are you kidding? This guy's in favor of the death penalty, for crying out loud. This guy's crazy. You know? Did you read the Wikipedia entry? You know? It's like, it's just... Now that said,
when we had Two Cents, the ranting Griffin guy, when he came on Rant Radio Talk, everybody went crazy. Oh my God, Rant's a furry station now. It's like, what?
Really?
Everybody just goes out of control. Any tiny little thing that changes, they're like, oh, it's ruined. Everything's
okay, you know
ruined.
What?
I hate you.
I'd say I'm gonna be ballsy and say I'm half of Rant, okay? And I didn't know shit about, you know, a furry station or any rumors about anything like that. Like, maybe nobody told me because they would be afraid I'd freak out or something. But, you know, it's unbelievable to me because I think the whole furry thing is so unbelievably fucked up. It's like one of those things you encounter on the web and you're like, wow, that's kind of messed up. And you know that it'll, like, die and fall by the wayside. But it's like... keeps showing up and it's like more furries. Hey, they're furries. And then there was a furry station and I'm like, are you serious? Like, there's this much crap involved with the furry thing? And I'm like, oh my gosh. Which, again, you know, whatever. I just, it's one of those memes.
There's 6 billion people on this planet, and if enough crazy people get together, there's a movement.
Yeah, and that, you know, makes me, I don't know, maybe I'm square. You know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe just along the way, I finally given up and I'm You know, I've actually you know, my dad. I'm the boring guy.
That's right.
That
you
nobody,
kids,
you
with
know.
Your crazy music
yeah,
and your
oh,
crazy
I,
clothes.
Your woogie woogie music. You know, like, come on. Give me a
Get
break.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. Which, you know, to be fair, what the hell are they doing on his lawn? You know, I just want to bring that up.
That's
you know,
true.
And I think
that's
a dude true. Should be able to grease some shits on his lawn with a shotgun. I'm okay with that.
They're know? Having a love-in on his front lawn.
You know, seriously, if you and I got really, really rich and we both moved to different places in the world, you would probably move to, like, some super vegan-friendly ninja place. Like, I don't know, like Buddhist-dominated... Thailand or something like that. Like some place where they don't even
Vancouver's
think about
pretty vegan friendly.
Sure.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You have like the summer home in vegan paradise with like, you know, the vegan people who learned from the vegan Bible how to make vegan food. And you have like the best vegan food ever and the macrobiotic people be there and vacuum.
Unfortunately,
which all be like this big
vegans and religion go hand in hand way too much. So you have to find a nice balance. And I think Vancouver's a very good balance.
Well, I think you can come live with me. Where I'm going to live, which is probably going to be Texas, you know, really.
That's my dream home.
No, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. I'd probably be okay in Texas. I
Meat,
probably
gun,
would.
Guns, yeah.
I'd show up down there. I'd move to some nice little place out of the way.
Yeah.
First Sunday, go to the neighborhood church, sing a couple of songs, do some high fives, make some friends, over to somebody's house for pie, and we'll go shooting on Saturday. I don't think it's that big of a deal. They all worship the dead guy on the cross and everything, and that's cool. Yeah, why not? High fives all around, you know? What the hell? These people know how to cook.
Yeah.
You know, seriously, I don't have to buy into their shit. I'll say your magic words and, you know, you know whatever spinach.
You have fun in
I
Texas,
say the words,
and I'll
you
see you on
back.
Skype.
What? Well, you know, I don't know. I'd have no problem living in all the places I've been in America.
You probably
like I yeah. totally you know for the record, do you remember that show what was it? Hard Drive, Top Drive, Top Gear. There we go. Hard Drive, Top.
Top I love Top. I love Top Gear.
Okay, you know when they went
for
to the Southern
States for some
strange
reason.
Remember yes. when they moved to the Southern States and like they were driving around with like NASCAR sucks and we hate your government
yes.
and shit like that, and they
yes.
like got afraid and they shot up their cars and shit. They had that
yes.
coming. They totally had that coming. I was never so
they
happy
did.
To see that. I'm like, hell yeah. Hell
I
yeah.
I thought these people were about freedom and freedom of speech, but no, they're not. They're just about freedom of guns and shooting out
no,
other
no, no.
people that don't
America's
believe in the
big
same
enough
thing
that
they
there's
do.
There's little areas that if you don't want to believe in that, get out of that area. You know what I mean? Like, don't go. They went looking uh-huh. for it. They went right into their backyard. Like, how would you like it? Some guy shows up in your backyard with the chainsaw and starts butchering cows. You're going to get pretty torqued about that. And you're going to, like, you know,
My personal backyard? My
yeah.
personal backyard?
Oh.
Or the road out in front of my house?
Ah, here we go. Here we go with
yeah,
the
yeah.
dichotomy.
There's a big difference. There's
oh, okay.
a big difference.
I don't really think
yeah, I'd get
so.
Out my I'd get out my shotgun and shoot up whatever property they have.
Well,
that's the solution.
If I'm outside with my neighbors, you know, and I was just eating some really good pie that Bobby Joe just made, and they're all angry and scooped up, and they're like some assholes driving around. I'd probably go along depending on how many beers I had. I mean, those guys are probably just a little drunk. And they didn't actually kill
Get
anybody.
Get the posse together.
Well, they never killed anybody, did they? They never killed anybody. They just scared them a little bit. You know?
They one-upped it, you know.
What? Well, they were scared. It didn't hurt nobody. Nobody got tasered. Nobody got beat up. Nobody
yeah.
had a black eye. Right? They just shot their cars a little bit. You know? Whatever. Screw around. Get out of here. Get off
yeah.
my lawn,
just
you freaks.
Fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
you know?
just a warning shot. Yeah. Across the bow.
You know. You know, they never hurt anybody is all I'm saying. You know, I just think that those guys...
All in good fun.
Well, you go looking for it in America. Here's what I know about Americans. And you can judge me and say whatever the hell you want. If you
I'm not saying it's right, but yes, they should have expected it. Yes,
well,
for sure.
I made me feel good to watch those
I'm not
people
saying it's right,
run them
though.
Off, run them out of their town. I did. I thought it was funny. I thought they took because you know what? I'm begging for the day that Tom Green gets the living snot beat right the shit out of him on film. Like, oh, Tom Green went up and like pissed in the face of Ken Shamrock, and Ken Shamrock like just you know exploded his chest cavity and like spread it around the room. You know, seriously, I want to see Left 4 Dead 2. Tom Green. That's what I want to see. Because, I mean, you know, guys do that, and there's, like, never any consequences. And people need to understand that there's consequences for stuff that you do. You know, it makes me... Anyway, all I'm saying here is that I think that, you know, all the times I've ever traveled in the southern states or any of those kind of places, I just, you know, they've been the nicest people ever. And yeah.
Oh, me too. And very, very, very nice.
Don't fuck with them. Don't fuck with them. Like, just don't fuck with them, and they'll be fine. You know? Like, why don't you try... If they were driving around in clean cars, smiled at everybody, you know, took the chiding a little bit, just warmed up, I mean, they probably would have been fine. But no, you're going to be walking around with I Hate Your Culture plastered on the side of your car in Buddy's hometown where, you know they're rednecks. They're in redneck town. That's like going to an Amish village and setting up a rave, which is, you know, funny and would be kind of entertaining to watch, but it's the same sort of idea, right? Like, that's not cool. Anyway, I have another letter. Now, and with the last letter... Before we get past this first one here with the Pirate Party thing, I just want to say that, like, I think that one of the big problems that a counterculture has is that they do not actually take a stand. Now, you and I differ in this opinion, Sim, so I'm going to go... This is the way Sean thinks, okay? I think that... Now, Sim's nervous now because I've excluded him.
Yeah.
And whenever I do that,
I'm
going to say something really, really extreme.
Opinions expressed on Newsreel are Sean's alone.
Sean's and Sean's only. I don't even know this asshole. Seriously, I think that... I think that maybe there are times when you do need to take a stand. You know what I mean? I don't think that being a WOG is like what did you say here? I said the idea of diversity and divergence of opinions between human beings when it comes to you're not going to accomplish anything, right? Here's what I've learned, okay? When I was running Cult back in the day, things ran smooth as clockwork, provided, you know, I kind of ran everything with an iron hand. I was the fucking man, and I ran the ship. And the minute that things started turning into debates and committees and that all started up, be it right, be it wrong, the whole place fell apart. And, of course, they reformed it into the new Cult, which is still active. Go in there and have a look around. See what they've done. In a very short period of time, we accomplished a lot of stuff, like crazy, crazy levels of stuff very early on because we were at least aligned. Okay, they were, you know, we can never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. You know, like, we're all very, we need to understand how to apply our originality and creativity in a way that, like, benefits the directional chaos. It's a very, very complicated thing. What the best way to kind of relate this to the listeners, everybody who's out there, is the whole WOG thing, as I've always kind of gone at it, has been about, you know, the whole concept of, like, Kaizen, right? To improve. And that is, you know, learning other languages, improving the mind. Improving the mind because you want to be better, stronger, faster, what have you. And then once that becomes your driving objective, you're free of a lot of other limitations because your objective then is to improve. Well, what's, you know, your moral compass on that, Sean? And then there's increasing and decreasing suffering over the long term. And then, you know, you get the language lawyers in there and they start talking about, you know, the Asimov three laws syndrome and it turns into a giant forum debate and I start shooting. And then I get called a fascist and everybody leaves except for about 20 or 30 people who are generally quite keen to get things done. And the sad thing is there are many, many people who agree with me, like tons and tons of people who agree with me. But they've got better things to do than to write emails and create support groups for ideas that they already believe in. You know what I mean? So it kind of falls by the wayside. So while on one hand, yeah, okay, you do need to listen and pay attention and look at other views, but that's only half the equation. You also have to make a decision, okay? And you have to make a decision with a little bit of conviction. That's why the logo is a dude sitting there while he's on fire. Okay, that's what that's all about. It's about having conviction and conviction to your ideals. And those ideals should be, you know, to improve. Now, that's not to say we should fall into dogma. We're going to do it this way because it's always been this way. And that was the fathers and the monuments say, you know, none of that shit. No. We're all going to the stars. Okay, we're trying to get off world here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not really too, I don't really care too much who's involved with the, you know, if I've if I've got to crack a few eggs to make this omelet, I'm kind of okay with that, you know? History could call me a bad guy.
Some people are going to get mad, and they have decisions in the past that you or I, we've made, and they could fall by the wayside, and the people that are still committed keep going, and we pick up new people. It's just, that's the way things go.
Now, and also, I mean, I'd ask all the blogs out there. I'd ask all the rant people.
Put
your hands on the antenna right now, and I want you to pray with me now. you know, and just have a little bit of faith, all right? Have a little bit of faith in us over here that maybe, you know, we're not screaming assholes. Maybe, you know, we've held out all this time. We watched all these other, we watched the rise and fall of the .com. We're not new, okay? We know what we're doing. And with something like the Pirate Party, I mean, Pirate was part of the original program, you know, Pirate Radio Station, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, they're talking about stuff that we've been talking about for years, and you're either going to get involved and make a difference, or you're going to stand by the wayside and make comments about other people building sandcastles. Like, shut up, dude, and get involved. Like, if you're going to help, help. You know, lead, follow, or get the fuck out of the way. You know, really, just like that's what you got to do here. If you don't want to be involved, that's great. Stand back, observe, and then make a decision. But you better make that decision, because you can't just sit there and make, you know, these little statements and go in your forums and argue about stuff unless you're willing to actually, you know, step up, cowboy up, and do what needs to be done. Okay, and that's what I'm talking about here. So, you know, while I appreciate
those who can do and those who criticize,
Exactly. Now, that's not to be like, don't ever question me, you know, because I understand where he's going with this. He doesn't want us to, he doesn't want to lose Newsreel, you know, and I'm not being a fascist. That's why I didn't name the guy, right? Because I think that he's a good dude. He's an awesome dude. He's been a member of the Flying Monkeys for a long time. Sends a lot of good stories. Mm-hmm. Solid guy. I even agree.
He's concerned.
Well, and he's not alone, okay? There's a lot of people out there that are going to be like, he's just got the balls to say it, right, to me.
Yeah,
right? And stand up there and let me whip at him for a while, you know, on my one-way microphone here where he can't defend himself. I just beat the shit out of him on the air for a while, you know. I'm like, there you go, 10 minutes in the caning machine. Which, incidentally, if there's any WOGs out there that can get me a picture of the caning machine in Singapore, oh my God, do I ever want a picture of that? I really do. I know it exists. I've heard it from people from Singapore. And they actually have a caning machine. I want to be the maintenance of tech. That's the Porn on Beta album cover.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Maintenance tech for the caning machine. That's your new album by Porn on Beta. You know, like, how do you set, like, how do you train for that? Like, who's the guy who built that? That's like some serious mad
science. It's probably automatic, and you have to, it's probably all totally automatic, and you sit down or you position yourself, and they just press a button, and it goes.
Yeah, but I want to see, what does it look like? You know,
I don't know.
Like, it's got to be
know.
That's got to be a hell of a thing. Like, purpose built.
I'm trying to find it right now, but
you won't find it, dude. I don't think there's any photos of it. I mean, Singapore, like, they locked that whole place. You can't have gum there; they'll kill you, right? Like, they're serious.
That's right.
So anyway, let's get into some news here. Oh no! Wait! I have this really cool letter. Now, the letter I've there's no Don or Sean or Sim. Okay, this just came in through the web.
Okay.
So I've titled it "Letter," and it starts off. And this is the first line. Okay. I just felt inclined to send a message of thanks to Sean Kennedy for his efforts at trying to make a difference, for in my case, at least he has. I live in Virginia, USA, born into poverty and desolation. I've always had a manic musical personality, and to put it simply, hell-bent on fighting against the insanity of the Industrial Revolution, but now I'm XX age. I feel that no one cares about what I have to say at all. All of my friends have become totally selfish, and I'm alone in the middle of nowhere, not even able to get a job, even if I wanted to. You need to want to get a job. I just want to put that in there.
Yeah,
okay, you need to want to get a job.
That's the first step.
It sounds like you're in a bad place. When people are shooting at you, you should leave the area. Okay, that's a bit of wisdom there for you. Get out. I'd say the first three Tales from the After Now episodes are my Bible. I've been following Sean's work for some time now, and I grew up with Rant Media. Today, which I'm thinking about that, like, the person, actually, you'll give their name. They're 23, right? So that means they've been listening to us since they were 13.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to go drink some Geritol now. Anyway, I'd say Today I finished watching Patrolling again, every episode, now as what you could call it as an adult, and I can say, all I can say is, I'm pushing with the cock I've got. I followed the works of Alex Jones, etc., etc., and I've become convinced that they're all just totally about selling DVDs and shouting their own selfish agenda. So on that note, as far as I'm concerned, Rant Media is about the best of the world's got going for as far as I've seen. Thanks to all at Rant Media for giving those less fortunate of hope realization of knowing that at least there are cool people out there that just don't want to sell t-shirts. Which I was like,
wow.
Oh,
that's cool. That's great.
She kind of choked me up a little bit there. I was like, oh.
That's a really nice letter.
It was.
It's got to balance it out. I like when you read a nice one against a bad one.
Well, you know.
Especially in that order.
Well,
it's good.
You got to end on a positive note, right? And the other
that's
letter
true.
Wasn't a bad letter. Okay? It wasn't a bad letter. It was just not a letter that'll get sent in again. So, in Half-Life News. Now, this is crazy. This is crazy. We're into the news now. Okay, no sort yourselves out for you. We've already done that. Okay, in Half-Life News, an electromagnetic black hole that sucks in surrounding light has been built for the first time. What could possibly go wrong? The device, which works at microwave frequencies, may soon be extended to trap visible light, lending to an entirely new way of harvesting solar energy to generate electricity. Okay, like, I want to see the guy proposing this thing. Okay, I've got this device that uses microwaves, but they suck up light. Well, you can't see that because I haven't done that yet, but it sucks up light, and what I want to do is I want to make, like, a black hole that sucks in solar energy so that I can, like, power things. And Stephen Hawking is like, thud, thud. And he's like running into him and shit. Thud, I will kick your ass. Thud. You know, seriously, just brutally. Like, oh my God. Like, that's the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal. Anyway, a theoretical design for a tabletop black hole to trap light was proposed in a paper published earlier this year by Evgeny Nemirov and Alexander Kalishnikov of Purdue University, West Lafayette, Indiana. Yes, with the names like Nemirov and Kalishnikov, they're definitely good Indiana-American names. Their idea was to mimic the properties of the cosmological black hole, whose intense gravity bends the surrounding space-time, causing any matter nearby or radiation to follow the warp space-time and spiral inwards. And again, Stephen Hawking now shifts his wheelchair aim at the writer of this article. Thud. No. Nemirov and Kalishnikov, we're going to call them, what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he's now N9, and Kalishnikov is now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So we now have N9 and K8. Okay, that's what they'll be referred to now. reason that it should now be possible to build a device that makes light curve inwards towards the center in a similar way. They calculated this could be done in a cylindrical structure consisted of a central core surrounded by a shell of concentric rings. Okay, now let me guess. The outside rings have mirrors on them, right? Huh? The key to making light surface curve inward is to make the shell's permittivity, which affect blah, 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 blah. Okay, so anyway, he goes on and he talks a lot of stuff. And if you're all into electronics, you can sort that out. Okay, you know, but it's a pretty interesting idea to have, like, you know, a black hole on your tabletop. It's still vapor, but it's ballsy vapor. I mean, these guys aren't talking about a flying car. They're talking about, you know.
These guys are thinking ahead.
You know, they're, and that's exciting, right? Because the stuff that you and I were talking about as being cyberpunk is happening right now.
Yes. So, all of it.
As the statement goes, when you're going through hell, keep on going. Okay, so things are looking.
I mean, the tabletop black hole, that is pretty advanced. Like, you just don't think of that kind of stuff, even in science fiction books, like, doesn't come up with tabletop black holes.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. You know, so I'm thinking, well, you know, that's definitely a start. But now this one here, this story that we got coming up next here, this kind of goes hand in hand with the first story, which kind of makes it not quite so cool anymore. Now this is a real, this guy here, Rick Lynch is his name, Lieutenant General Rick Lynch. This guy is going to go down in history. There's a name. This guy's, like, carved his nick in the historical world, as far as I'm concerned. I'm probably going to find. I need to find. If anyone could find me a really nice picture of him, like a real, go-getter American flag picture of him, you know, like one of those general pictures with the flag, and he's like,
oh,
I want a really good one. And I'd like to frame it, I think, and hang it by my desk. Lieutenant General Rick Lynch. This is in Robot Takeover News. Okay. Lieutenant General Rick Lynch, commanding general at the Fort Hood, Texas, the Army's 3rd Armored Corps, has lost 155 soldiers in combat in Iraq. The lives of 80%, or 122 of them, would have been saved if the right robots had been in place, he said in a recent industry conference. There's got to be a sense of urgency here. I'm so tired of going to technological demonstrations, Lynch said. Not only has the Army failed to field the right kind of robots that would save warfighters' lives, it has not fielded any robots to Iraq or Afghanistan at all, he said at the Associated for Unmanned Vehicle Systems International Conference in Washington, D.C. He's pissed. Okay, this is like career-damaging shit to say to the press. That claim may have come as a shock to those at the conference. Hundreds of unmanned aerial vehicles fly over the two theaters of operations today. The exploits of the Explosives Ordnance Disposal Teams and the robots they employ to clear outside roadside bombs are well known. But Lynch doesn't consider those devices robots because they require humans to control them remotely. And he's 100% correct. He's 100% right. They're not robots. Okay, they're not.
Right.
I'm talking about a system that has a certain degree of autonomy, he says. Lynch has unique credentials he can use to back up his claims. He's commanded troops in combat and holds a master's degree in robotics from MIT. Okay.
There you go.
So I'm like...
He knows his stuff.
Mr.
He knows
Lynch,
his terminology.
Okay. He came to the conference in the nation's capital to deliver a few blunt messages that the military has failed to field life-saving robotics technologies. Research and development dollars are being spent unwisely, and many of the robotic systems that could be saving lives are mature enough to be fielded today. Senior leaders are told they have robots in the battlefield, so senior leaders think we don't need any more. Robot developers expressed support for Lynch. I love General Lynch because he brings about an absolute passion as a commander for how important it is on the acquisition to get the tools on hand for the warfighter, said Marine Corps Colonel James Barton, project manager of the Robotic Systems Joint Project Office, which is his way of saying, I love General Lynch, because he brings... I love that guy, and I love him too, because he's totally serious. Stop fucking around. Let's get some hardcore robots out there. You want to make some killbots? Make some fucking killbots. And that's what he's pushing for. This is what he's pushing for. You know,
that's what he wants.
They're going on with the article here. I just lost my place. Brayden said that he's got several philosophical discussions with Lynch on the definition of the word robot and whether any had been fielded in Iraq or Afghanistan. Well, Brayden, if you don't have a master's from MIT, I'm thinking that you're probably going to be a little outgunned on that one. Lynch has likened the military's research and developing robotic strategy to fertilizing a flower bed. If one doesn't have enough fertilizer, it's not productive if one spreads so thin that nothing will grow. The gardener has to concentrate his limited resources on a few flowers. There is so much money being thrown at high-flying ideas that essential life-saving robot technologies are not receiving the dollars they need. And, you know, when you lose men, it brings things really sharply into focus. And he's had to, you know, deal with losing people, with writing letters to families and shit. That's really real, man. People are dying.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an idea. I've seen those ideas for the last 25 years, Lynch said. You can't make everybody happy. You've got to be able to say, that's interesting, that's not interesting, but by God, this is important, right? Now, which kind of reflects back to the previous story I made earlier about taking sides and making a decision and all that kind of stuff. So me and General Lynch here, we're on the same page. So the thing is, though, is that with this guy at the helm, they're probably going to start really pushing the robotics in a direction that will be a little bit scary. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to start
seeing... Well, yeah, once they're autonomous, they're making decisions on their own, and who's accountable for this robot that goes awry? It's like, well, I only programmed him. The robot made the decision based on the input he was given.
Hey, man, I only built the bomb, right? I only built that bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I didn't drop that bomb. I just built that bomb. Now, the problem... this is how Sean's brain works. I look at that and go, okay... If that happens, that will open the doorway for a lot of really hideous things to happen. So I bet that that's what's going to happen. That's probably worst case scenario. So because mm-hmm. that will provide a lot of scapegoatism, a lot of methods to get dirty things done, I think that these autonomous robots will be built and they will be deployed. And a guy like Ryan Lynch here, although I agree with what he's doing, I'm a little bit afraid of the mission creep that can occur from, watching... from you know, building autonomous robots. I mean, this is something that we're playing with some big fire here, and you got to think, like, anything you build is not staying secret, right? China's already got the UAVs. They're making knockoffs of UAVs, right? So anything you make is going to get taken away from you, and it's going to one day someone's going to get a hold of that sword you built, and, the Pandora's box gets open. It's going to happen. Okay, it's going to happen anyway, because you know that people are working on it.
Yeah.
And realistically, America isn't as smart as they think they are. Okay, like, there's a lot of really clever people in other nations now. Okay, so, it's not like they're going to be the guys who come up with everything. The robotics technology in Japan is light years ahead of ours. The robotic technology that Japan has and generally all over Asia is just huge. So if you don't think the Chinese are working on this, like, come on, man. Come on, like the government, like governments that don't have any kind of ethical problems are doing all kinds of crazy shit. So that's how the afternow happens, right? Like that's how it all starts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of the afternow is the whole ideas of loss of life and liberties. Now, you remember the Patriot Act? Because I remember the Patriot Act. I remember how the Patriot Act was supposed to go away, right? It's supposed to be a temporary measure, right? And then, of course,
they always are.
Yeah, they're always a temporary measure. And for those people that are posting the images, just throw them in an email, okay? Because I can't touch them right now.
Anyway, somebody collect them all up and shoot them
off. If you don't mind. Yeah. Sorry, guys. But anyway, the thing with the Patriot Act is that, it was supposed to go away. And we said when they did it that it was never going to leave. Okay? And now this got posted to the EFF here. It looks like most of the senators, this is in martial law news. It looks like most of the senators of the Senate Judiciary Committee weren't swayed by this morning's New York Times editorial, which cited this morning's committee meeting to consider the USA Patriot Act renewal as a critical chance to add missing civil liberties and privacy protections, address known abuses, and trim excesses that contribute nothing to making America safer. Instead, the committee just passed a bill to renew all of the Patriot Act powers that were set to expire at the end of the year, with only a handful of the original reforms that were first proposed by Senator Feingold and Durbin's Justice Act and the committee chairman Leahy's original Patriot Renewal Bill. Instead of adding more protections to the bill, as the EFF and Times have been urging, along with many other Americans who have been organizing Facebook and Twitter activism around the Patriot reform, the committee this morning voted to accept 7 Republican amendments to the USA Patriot Act, Sunset Extension Act, to remove the few civil liberties protections left in the bill after it was already watered down last Thursday's committee meeting. Surprisingly and disappointingly, most of those amendments were recommended by the Republican sponsors, by the Obama administration. After voting on the amendments, vote counts and text of the amendments are now available on the committee's website. The committee voted to pass the Patriot Bill itself, some 11 to 8. Some Democrats voted against it, agreeing with us that it didn't protect civil liberties enough, while some Republicans voted against it because few meager privacy improvements it did include. EFF extends its heartfelt gratitude to only 3 Democrats who continually stood up for civil liberties throughout this process and ultimately voted no on the final bill: Senator Feingold, Durbin, and Specter, which is a great last name, Senator Specter. As for those others on the committee, and especially the Obama administration, you let down the American people today to undermine our constitutional rights in endorsing a bill that doesn't do nearly enough to protect our privacy. We look forward to taking this fight to the floor of the Senate. To do that, though, they need more help. So if you want to get involved, go have a click on the Newsreel site and take a look at that. But, sometimes the old boss and the new boss are the same guy. You know, we all kind of knew that anyway. I don't know. I still think that, we're better off with Obama than we were with Bush. You know, really. I mean, because, we couldn't really do much worse. I'm just saying. really.
It's a step in the right direction, at least. At least he kind of understands. He shows that he understands some things about what is needed.
I guess he's trying to.
Even if it doesn't happen, at least he shows he understands it.
We're like I said, man. You know, maybe we got to light some thrusters and get through these next few years here. But in order to do that, and also to help with this, of course, we have some prisoner news. Always good to have prisoner news. Who doesn't like prisoner news? The Federal Bureau of Investigation is expanding beyond its traditional fingerprint-focused collection practices to develop a new biometric system that will include DNA records, 3D facial imaging, palm prints, and voice scans, blended to create what's known as a multi-module biometrics. So here's their new plan, is that they're going to actually have a file that has your current, like, palm print, eye print, voice scan, everything, so that becomes like a search modifier, right? That's what's going on here.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a good idea. The FBI today is announcing a rapid DNA initiative, said Louis Griever, executive assistant to the director of the FBI Science and Technology Branch, during his keynote presentation of the Biometric Consortium Conference in Tampa. The FBI plans to migrate from the IAFIS database established in the mid-1990s to hold its vast fingerprint data to a next-generation system that is expected to be in prototype early next year. This multi-module NGI biometrics database system will hold DNA records and more. Griever said fingerprints and DNA appear to be the most mature and searchable biometrics possible, but the FBI is working to include iris scan records among newer biometric technologies to identify criminals and terrorists. Just those guys. But of course, you know, that's kind of fuzzy, because, you know, if you break the law, you're a criminal. We're all breaking the law. Mm-hmm. You know, it all depends on the law you think you're breaking. The plan is to share this data with authorized U.S. and international investigative partners. Partners?
Yeah.
Authorized partners. Authorized U.S. and international.
And large corporations.
Well, yeah, but that's just it. It's authorized U.S. People authorized within the United States. And people and international investigative partners. Why in the hell would you share that kind of information on a national stage? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean,
wholesale. Like, not even specific pieces of data, but, like, the whole thing. Just share the whole data, the whole database.
Yeah, like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Oh, that's because it's exactly the same thing they're doing in Europe, Bilderberg much. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, because after doing this show for so long, you know, Alex Jones starts sounding less crazy, and you begin to see where he's getting his data from. And he spins it a little bit more than he needs to. You know what I mean? He gets really, really riled. He's making good money, and he's doing good things. And I love Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones is great.
Yeah.
And I think people should support him. But
you don't even have to spin this. Like, it doesn't need any spinning.
Yeah,
like, they're collecting a wholesale data on every single person and putting into a massive database and sharing it with whoever ponies up the cash.
Yeah. So, you know, or perhaps it's a more sinister idea. I mean, there are some Georgia Guidestones that got built on this hill over there. You know, I hate to bring that up, but there are some crazy people with a lot of money who want to do bad things. You know, and I'm not really sure that I dig a lot of this stuff. You know, some of it I think you want to be careful with. Definitely want to be careful with. Now,
everything is turning into a database society. Everything's being collected on everyone, and people are glad to share it. And these sites like Facebook are encouraging people getting them used to this idea.
Well,
right?
We use Facebook, right? We use it.
Yes,
it's pretty useful.
Yeah, we do. It's useful. I'm just as guilty. I mean, I am aware of to the extent that of information that I wish to put into Facebook. But some people aren't. Some people think it's a completely secure thing, and they sign up to these little fun little games, and they think it's all innocuous. But no, it's not. It's a big database, and they're making money off your data. They're making money off your identification and selling it to other people for the lowest bidder.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I think I would hope that I have a lot of fans who don't follow me on Facebook, you know, because, you know, I'm sure I do. I'm sure there's a lot of people who would download my show that's just like, why the hell, you know, if I've been listening to anything that Sean's been saying over the years, why the hell would I be on Facebook? Which is true.
Well, you can't run into the hills and go into a shack and cut off your telephone line and not communicate with anybody.
No,
you just have
to
be aware of the limitations.
Instead, you know, you don't have to go quite
exactly.
That far.
Yeah, there are ways to communicate and get your data without exposing everything in your life.
Right. So it's one of those kind of things that you do have to be aware of, and you have to be,
savvy.
It's about education, and this is one place to get education about these kind of things is Newsreel, and you have to learn about what kind of stuff you're getting into on the internet. And when you sign up for cards at stores, and anytime somebody asks, "What's your phone number?" or "What's your email address?" and you just give it out freely, and you got to think to yourself, why am I giving this stranger my email address? Why am I giving a company my email address? They don't even tell you what it's for. They just ask your email address, and people give it out.
Well, the thing is, too, is that they use that weird social peer pressure thing, where you're in the lineup, right? And they're like, what's your email? And I'm like, I'm not giving you my email. And then they stop, and they stare at you because nobody says that. Right, nobody says that. They don't know what to do now. They go,
why not?
And I'm like, you don't need my email. Just sell me the items. Like, well, do you have a store card? No, I don't have a store card. I just want to buy the items. Well, there's a discount if you get the. I don't care. I just want the items. And then now they're afraid. Now they're looking at you like you're the weirdo, and the other people in the lineup are uncomfortable. And you're like, look, fuckers, I just want to buy the fucking chocolate, okay? And who's eating all this fucking chocolate over there? You guys ever think about that? And you're halfway through that story before, the security guards show up and you're like, listen, man. And he's like, Sean, man, we talked about this. But yeah.
They're guilting you into this information. They're making you look like the bad guy. And you're like 2 seconds away from looking like a crazy person, blurting out why exactly that you shouldn't give out your email address and phone number.
Which is there's a good way around that is you go, instead of going the rational way where you like say, well, I think it's kind of strange that you want my email address. You when she says, why won't you give me the email address? You say, because I believe your corporation's run by aliens and they're trying to drink my blood. And deliver
just go
it straight.
For it. Just
go for it.
Go
just
all
go,
the way.
Go for it because I believe this organization's run by aliens and they're trying to drink my blood. And deliver it deadpan.
Or lizard people.
Also. Or alien lizard people. The two are not mutually exclusive.
Alien lizard people. There you go.
And it's like, you can run with that. Do you know where the nearest ley line is? Do you? Because if you can tell me where the ley line is, I'll give you my email address. And you're kind of cute,
there you
too.
Go.
Why don't you give me your email address? And if I like it, maybe I'll give you mine. It's like...
Or start asking for their personal information.
Get security. No. Crazy people listening to the show, Sim. No, don't tell them to do that.
Oh, yeah, right.
They'll go to jail. So don't do that. Just say that you believe that their bosses are alien bloodsuckers. And maybe she'll look at you and go, they kind of are. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
They're like, I knew it.
Well, she doesn't
give
a fuck. She doesn't want your email address, or he doesn't want your email address.
Oh, they don't
care. They just want to get paid, right? They're trying to, get home.
They're told to say that. That's part of their shtick. That's their job. They're making a couple bucks to put some food on the table. It's not their fault.
Right. So, got to run with it. Now, after that depressing chunk of kit, let's turn to server and the great things that it can provide. I'm talking about gizmos. It's true. Cyberpunk Woo-hoo. Kit. Everybody loves it. And I have some solutions to the problems at hand. First of all, we have some lightsaber news, which I'm excited about. I'm really excited about
Ooh.
This. Nobody ever said a lightsaber was a practical weapon. It's no match for a good blaster, if you ask me. But exerts a powerful fascination. Now listen to this. Special Operation Command have completed ongoing testing on field evaluation studies of the next best thing. According to the Pentagon budget document, it's a plasma knife which cuts through flesh Ooh. With a blade of glowing ionized gas. But rather than being a weapon, it's not a weapon, but could possibly be a weapon.
No, not a weapon.
The plasma knife is a surgical instrument that could save lives. Prompt medical care has proven extremely effective at reducing the mortality rates of combat casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan. That same statement could be made of any kind of casualty, not just combat ones. But anyway, a policy of basing medics as far forward as possible as carrying out the essential treatment before transfer to a full medical facility has reduced the chance of dying from battlefield injuries from 25% during the Korean War to just 10% today. But if the commandos often find themselves in remote areas without the luxury of medical backup, which is why they require their own emergency medical capability. And that's where the plasma knife comes in. If you survive the massive tissue damage caused by a bullet or improvised bomb, the biggest immediate risk is bleeding to death, and there's shock. But anyway, the plasma knife is a tool to stop the bleeding. In a sense, it goes right back to the old technique of cauterizations. When you stop the bleeding by applying red-hot irons, modern surgeons have used electrocautery, which uses an electrically heated wire for the same purpose. Like, ow! Now, that's a carrot.
Yeah.
Anyway, the more advanced versions is radiosurgery. Wow. Now, that's what we're doing. This isn't a political show. It's radiosurgery!
Radiosurgery.
On your brain! Rock and balls!
There you go.
That's what it is. Newsreel. Radio surgery for the 21st century. Which replaces the wire for the high-energy radio frequency radiation, which heats tissue directly. All of these work on the same principle of stopping bleeding by creating an impenetrable layer of necrotic tissue. Now, that's a great title. An impenetrable layer of necrotic tissue. Or to put it another way, you melt the flesh in the form of a bandage. The necrotic dead tissue comprises blah, 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 blah. The plasma knife resembles tools used for radiosurgery, but has advantages that it produces plasma, hot ionized gas, and not the liquid sort of plasma found in blood, which penetrates the outer porous layer of dead tissue without damaging it. In principle, this means the more serious flow of blood, the blah, 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 blah. So we haven't got a picture of it.
Field expedient tool.
Well, it is a plasma cutter that is portable and small that, you know, can get the job done. So I'm like...
That's awesome.
Huh, yeah, that's pretty sexy. I'm like, how big is the blade is the next question. You know.
Well, in the link off the page, it does have a very small diagram that you can't actually look at because you have to pay for through the patent place and stuff.
Of course. Well, you can kiss my ass. Can you just do like an image search and see what you can find? Like put plasma knife
maybe,
there?
Maybe, yeah.
That's what I usually do. I just put, you know. Somebody just posted.
Somebody's got it up on some page, right?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
There's
a few points to, like, you know, what would be good with it or whatever. But it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. Now, of course, you know, you got your lightsaber, okay? So you're good to go. Or maybe it's not a lightsaber. Maybe you got your light Bowie knife. You know, it's an 18-inch blade. Which, believe you me, I mean, if I've got a laser kukri, I'm okay with that. Kukri lasers laser kukris are okay, you know? So, anyway, once you have that, you've got to go to the next wog step, right? Because, I've always thought that it'd be good to have some kind of cohesion, you know? Some people who are really serious about cohesion are sometimes a little bit scary to me because I have a problem, you know, being very communal with other people. Like, I don't think I could live well in a commune, you know, unless I was, like, you know, the warrior
running it
leader guy. But, like, even then, I think I'd like, go live in a hut on the other side of the commune, and that would be it. Like, I'm not real sociable.
And so, everybody goes, nobody actually sees Sean.
Yeah.
He's over there, but nobody sees him.
Well, that leads me to this thing here. Now, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. And this is a website which has been around. I saw this site years ago. You saw this site years ago. But it's still there. It's still there.
Wow.
And I'm happy. I'm happy about it. We're talking about today's Daily Hack. Which is, not Daily Hack, sorry, I lied, another piece of Cyberpunk kit, is 20th Century Castles. 20th Century Castles. And they offer several decommissioned missile-based properties. They sold 47 of them since January 2009. We're proud to offer these below. If you're interested, please, and they got pictures. So the first one, you know, you got a site, 46 acres, paved half-mile driveway.
Yeah.
That's like a drag strip. We've got 50,000 square feet of floor plate, high chain link fences with rolling gate at a central complex, lots of trees, game animals, and birds on property. So, like, wild boars, some owner financing possible, yours for the low price of $275,000. Like, bam!
That's cheap.
That's
cheap.
That is cheap! I mean, it's probably pretty rough shape. You know, if you've got a bit more money, for $2.3 million, you get 20 acres of highly developed Atlas F site, part of an exclusive airport subdivision. It's got its own runway that's good till 2050. It's got low taxes, private security, privacy, security, and unlimited possibilities. It's basically, you've got your missile base on a cabin with a runway. You could fly into your crazy base. That's pretty good. You know, supervillain territory.
That's nice, yeah.
But I like the, for $2.8 million, I like the 210 total acres Titan base. It's a very rare piece of history. Only 18 were ever built. 45,000 square feet of underground floor space. Many unique possibilities for commercial and private users. Now, the great thing is, though, is if you look at the picture, somebody's painted a robot guy on the top of the missile silo, which makes me kind of go, what kind of weirdo moved in there. So I was just like, awesome. You know, like, I want to go in there and see, like,
you know, it's set up then,
wall
right?
paintings, you know. And, oh, yeah, you oh, can yeah. be, like, total road warrior with a place like that. That's pretty sexy. missile silos and nuke bunkers and stuff like that, they're pretty cool. You know, I mean, they're cool. So
yeah, they've got a picture of a missile under the listing. I don't know if it actually has a missile still in it or not.
Well, no, it's a rocket. It's not a missile.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And the payload is me, and I've just changed the guidance system so that it takes me into space, so that we can do that. Now, in Necropolis news. Now, this was one of those stories. I don't know if it was a news story or if it was Cyberpunk Kit, because it kind of relates to the real estate, right? In Japan. Mm-hmm, now, this is kind of a spin story too. It probably should have been in the news section, but this is why you don't care about the dead. Okay, it's very, very dangerous when you start attaching value to things because people have died for them. You know what I mean? And this is a really, really scary thing, because then suddenly the people who become the most right are the people that have had the most people die for an idea. And that's not really scientific at all. Now this,
or logical.
You know, it's completely not. You know, I don't care how many millions of people died for this or that. Okay, we have to kind of get past these kind of very emotionally charged issues here and look at what's really going on.
Yes,
and this is a classic, you know, way to look at this. In Japan, crowded in a mountainous country with fast aging society, there's a shortage of final resting places, especially in big cities. They don't know what to do with the dead people. Burial plots in Tokyo can cost £63,000. Some are turning to cheaper, high-tech solution, multi-story graveyards. What?
Oh, jeez.
So what they've done is they've built a necropolis so that you can put ashes from two people inside of one monk, and 7,000 people can be in this one. Like, who cares? You know?
I know.
Unless
crazy.
They're cryogenically frozen, just flush them down the toilet, or I don't know, put them in the sea or whatever. But they can't figure out what to do with all
the
dead
hold
bodies.
No value. The ashes hold no value. All the value is in your mind remembering the person.
And
those,
people,
those bones and flesh, nothing. Mean nothing.
Like, could you imagine going to the native people of this land and telling them that you have to pay me $63,000 to bury you? In this chunk of earth right here. Like, and how dumb is it that you wouldn't want anything over top of you? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know.
This is my grave. It's not your...
Yeah.
You've never seen it. Okay? You'll never see that spot. You're dead. Okay? And now you've wasted eternally that section of earth forever. Or, well...
Up into space. Yeah, that spot. Well, yeah, until people, until all your relatives don't care about you, and then they can
appropriate
a piece of
land. So as long as somebody remembers them, you know, it will be, you know, come on. Let's cut the shit, okay? We've got more important stuff to do than sit around looking at ashes. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Fat Ninja sent me another story, and this is a little bit more upbeat. We're talking about some after-now technology. We're talking about rad packs. Researchers have demonstrated, okay... This is demonstrated, okay? A penny-sized nuclear battery that produces energy from decaying radioisotopes. As radioactive substances decay, they release charged particles. When properly harvested, can create an electrical current. Nuclear batteries have been in use for the military and aerospace applications, but are typically far larger. University of Missouri team says that batteries hold a million times as much charge as standard batteries. A million times. Get me the taser. They have developed it in an attempt to scale down power sources for tiny devices that fall under the category of micro and nano electromechanical systems, MEMS and NEMS, which is a good, you know. This means to power such devices has been the subject of study of vigorous, blah, blah, blah. We've studied it. Nuclear batteries are an attractive proposition for many applications because the isotopes that power them can provide useful amount of current for a phenomenally long time, up to hundreds of years or more.
That's pretty good.
That's
that'll
really
last a while.
Cool. As a result,
never have to wind your watch again.
Pardon me while I install those in my, you know, complete cyborg body transfer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what I'm running on. Most nuclear batteries uses a solid semiconductor to harvest particles, but the particles' extremely high energies mean the semiconductors suffer damage over time. This means to build a battery that can last as long as the isotope inside, they must be built larger. The team's solution incorporates a liquid semiconductor, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, bottom line, they're working on batteries which will last hundreds of years because they're nuclear.
That's awesome. This is cool tech. This is cool.
It's pretty cool. So, you know, that's a plus.
I guess it's like taking those glowing watches that have the little nuclear particle in there that makes
tritium.
It glow.
Yeah, tritium.
Forever, tritium, forever and ever, and just, you know, taking it to the extreme.
Well, you know, and those tritium watches, I mean, they're actually only really, they're good for about 10 years, really. Tritium, from the time you get it to, like, it still glows, but it's not like you can read by it. And you can get lamps, eh? You get gas-filled lamps.
Really?
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're used for like for tactical map reading, and they've got military applications for them. But yeah, they've got tritium lamps that you can get for like map reading stuff. Pretty cool. Very neat to have.
Yeah,
they're
I'm
expensive.
Looking at them some right now. Yeah, I see like keychains, glow sticks, and all sorts of applications. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty neat. You know, and they don't go out. I kind of, but you know, they're radioactive, and you get a big you know burn from it. Today's daily hack is going to be your do-it-yourself LEDs. And this kind of ties in with last week's daily hack, which was the Dazzler. So they were talking about LEDs there. This kind of, you know, kind of goes in with that because I really want to get one of the those. That's that thing that you look at the light and it makes you throw up. Good idea.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks.
Attach that to some motion detectors and you're good. You've got your security for your whole house. Light them up.
Pretty much. And it's even better if you install it inside, right? Because they come inside your house, right?
Yeah,
and you just make it so your lights don't turn on, and pretty much nobody can see, and everybody's throwing up, right? So, you better get out before I get home. I find you here tonight. They'll find you here tomorrow. Anyway, that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute the show. Please give the show out to other people. But if you can donate, please do so by going to the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And, of course, I want to thank the Armies of Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Also, big shouts-out to Renegade Rabbit. Mwah! I love you. Be sure to sign up the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com, where you can get all of our current events to see who we're going to sell out to next. If you would like the music in the background, you want to check out some Psytrance, and I'm not too sure what I'm going to fade out from. Sim, sometimes you have musical suggestions. Do you have one this week?
You haven't used that one from the.
Oh no, we linked to it. That was a daily hack. That's actually a permanent link to that.
Oh,
story.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have because I was going to just put it as an outro song, but I wanted to actually give them a real push.
Cool.
Because they were all tied in. So I'm trying to think. Well, I'll come up with something. Don't you worry.
Yeah, something cool.
Whatever it'll be, it will be awesome. So, have you got anything else, Simi?
Nope, nothing this week.
Pretty good. Okay, man. Well, I'm going to fade out. I already read that line. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So, until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Through the gates of hell, as we make our way to heaven through the Nazi line. Leave all victory.